Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes with a prayer? Our precious Lord Jesus, as we stand here in your presence, Lord, with bowed hearts, Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to come into your house this morrow after the Sabbath, and Lord, to sit in your presence, and Lord, have your great Holy Spirit speak unto our hearts today. We come confessing our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures. We pray that your precious blood would blot all our confessions, Father, and may the life of that blood, the Holy Spirit, Lord, just brood upon us, Lord. And as your prophet says, you're brooding upon your church again in this hour to bring back that genuine image, Father. Lord, a man in your image and your likeness again. And you can say, this is my beloved bride whom I'm pleased to dwell in here. Oh, gracious God, let it be such a real experience of that this morning. Let it come into a great realization of our hearts. Let it cause us to stand with great courage and faith in the last closing days upon the face of this earth. Lord, may we enter into such a great rapturing faith as your word will unfold to us, Lord, with such impact of revelation. So place us positionally where we ought to be in this hour. Grant these things, Father. Remember the words of your prophet. He said how we have to lay in the presence of the sun until all the greenness is baked out, until, Lord, all the wetness is dried out, until our faith becomes a ripened faith, a faith that can operate your word and make it live, make it manifest to show that you are great as you ever was. Grant these things, we pray, as we commit ourselves into your hands, asking divine leadership and direction, all we undertake to say and do. May it bring each and every one of us into a closer walk with you in this hour. For we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I'd like to read. Certainly appreciate everyone gathering in the house of God today, and you know, many we kind of packed tight and everything else, but we certainly not thinking about that. We are just so glad we have the opportunity to come, these doors being open, to come on honest resurrection, come and gather together. Amen. God, we love his appearing. Amen. Genesis 1, verse 26. I want to begin reading, and you know, from verse 1 to 25, God was speaking his word, expressing his thoughts, laying out his great plan for his faith civilization, and how he built right up, you know, from botany life and marine life and bird life and animal life and all these things. And here, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, all the marine life, and over the fowl of the air, bird life, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I'd like to continue on verse 18, chapter 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. Now I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to the every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help fit for him or meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. May the Lord has blessed you. Will you have a seat? We want to go right into the word, because today, being the last day of this services that was planned, I'm looking forward by the grace of God to really cap off this meetings and the inspiration that God have given me in my heart to bring on to you, and the revelation of the seven trumpets that we've been speaking of each night. And you know, we started off there in the book of Leviticus the first night, and we were focusing upon the from the feast of the trumpets to the feast of the tabernacles, the last three feasts. And we went from that into the book of Genesis, and we pick up the life of Joseph, also taking those seven feasts in the life of Joseph, and how it compared together with the seven feasts in Leviticus, revealing in a type what was shown in a symbol form in the feast. Because we find the feast of trumpets as they gathered the Jews and Joseph's brothers being gathered together in a time of economic depression. And we know the story how Joseph was rejected by his brothers, typing Christ, being rejected and all these things. And then Joseph choosing a bride out of the Gentiles, like the Feast of Pentecost. And then the time came when Joseph's brothers was gathered again, and here they're going to come to meet him. But they didn't know him yet, though they were gathered together. And they're coming that time in Egypt to buy corn and these things. We find out Joseph already had a Gentile wife. Amen. And we saw that the time was going to come when Joseph's brothers is going to recognize Joseph. And they would weep and mourn and cry, just like the Jews will do in these last days. Because Genesis is really a revelation in seed form. See, Genesis is the sowing, Revelation is the harvest. And the law of reproduction is every seed bring forth after its kind. So what started in Genesis goes all the way to Revelation. The law of reproduction just reproducing itself, the life. And God gave his word in the form of mystery. And we know that in the book of Revelation, there's seven church ages, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. So then those things are back in Genesis. So we know when those things are being revealed in reality form in the book of Revelation, it would be in Genesis. So if we see it in Revelation and we see it in Genesis, then we could compare the two together and see if this seed has come back to seed. If the original life reproduced. And we've been trying to bring this message and the Feast of the Trumpets, because this was the message that Brother Branham attempted to preach in 1964, and the Holy Spirit stopped him. He said, it's not profitable for the church at this time. And God told him, you preached that supernaturally already under the sixth seal. It's laying there in the book. And then he told us, he says, right here in Revelation 7 is where all those things took place. All that persecution. So we found out then that those seven trumpets in the book of Revelation is also in Revelation 7. It covers Revelation chapters 8 to 11. And we've been looking at that nightly in the past few nights. And we've been comparing that with the feast, because these seven feasts that God gave to Israel was prophecy really. How the feast of the Passover was Christ's death, and the feast of the unleavened bread also spoke of his death. And the feast of the first fruit spoke of his resurrection. And the feast of Pentecost spoke of the church ages. And the feast of the trumpet spoke of the gathering of the Jews again. And the feast of the atonement speaks of the time when Israel will recognize the Messiah. And then we find the feast of the tabernacles speaks of the millennium. And we were typing those things because we found out that even Ruth coming back. When she was coming, Naomi was coming back in the homeland. And Ruth was a Gentile who was coming in the harvest time. And we find in the Bible that harvest time was a special time. Because Jesus spoke of the harvest time being the end of the age. And he spoke of the Son of Man being the corn of wheat. And he speaks that in that day when the Son of Man will be revealed again. When the seed will come back to seed. And no age could have said they were living in the harvest time until the ministry of the Son of Man was correctly and scripturally identified, proving it is the very same ministry returned back in the last days. Then we know we are not in the stock or the tusk or the shuck, which is the different stages of the life of the wheat reproducing itself. But when the same ministry of the Son of Man came, in the first pull, the young rabbi went over to healing, and then he began to preach the word, rebuking the organizations, discerning the spirits. And then we find the crowd began to fall back, and then he came to the opening of the word, revealing himself and his purpose why he came, pulling out the elected church together. Amen. And we saw the very same ministry reincarnated in the bride in the last days. And that ministry of the Son of Man ended with the resurrection. Amen. Because after he was smitten on the cross, publicly rejected and crucified, he was rejected in Pilate's judgment hall at the end of his ministry. When the church and the state came together, when the church said, we have no king but Caesar, and they came under the headship of the Roman power to reject the Messiah message. But after the rejection came the public crucifixion, when he was smitten, amen, and he cried a loud voice, and there he raised the sleeping saints, preached to the lost, all those things, and then ascended into heaven. And we find out that those very same things is repeated again. And how the prophet identified on what shall I do with Jesus called Christ. He showed us the message has been turned on. He said, next is going to come the public crucifixion. When the priest come, what's the third pulled in? It will go to the lost. But it will start the rapture in faith and the going of the church. Amen. Amen. And we see the world council of churches being gathered together. And here we are. We know the hour is going to come to close on these places. We wouldn't be able to gather together like this. Amen. Amen. And here, a great earthquake when he was smitten there. And the sleeping saints arose. And all those things is laying right back here in type to happen again. And we see how close we are to that very hour. And we've been taking these things here, these seven feasts, and we found it over in the life of Joseph, who was a perfect type of Christ. Amen. It's really been outstanding to see how the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread and Joseph being rejected and being in prison. And how one the butler was saved and the baker was lost. Like Jesus on the cross with the two thieves. How Joseph was exalted out after he came out of prison to the right hand of Pharaoh. Yep. Amen. Where Jesus rose up to the right hand of the majesty on high. Then how Joseph took a Gentile bride. And the feast of Pentecost. And how the feast of trumpets, Joseph's brothers gathered back together. Amen. And then the feast of the atonement. Joseph's brother began to weep when they recognized him. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, Joseph in that land where they had to blow the trumpet and every knee shall bow, when he's dealt with his Gentile bride and all his brothers in that land where he has dominion. Right, amen. Amen. And we find that so correctly parallel those seven feasts. And then we went to the book of Ruth and we find the same thing over in the book of Ruth unfolding itself in even a greater way. Because Joseph just shows how his bride is being dismissed to the palace. And we found out now is that time. Between the Feast of Trumpets, is gathering of Joseph's brothers, and the Feast of the Atonement, he making himself known to his brothers, I am Joseph. Amen. See? And then, he began to tell them, God had a purpose inside of it. Amen. You see, that to save the world and all these things, which will be made known to them under the Feast of the Atonement, under the sixth seal. They will understand the plan of redemption. They will understand how they have to reject the Messiah. It's part of God's plan. Blind and the Gentiles will come in. Amen. And then in the book of Ruth, we saw how the stages of the bride. Just like Joseph and his Gentile bride, he has Boaz now, the Lord of the harvest, and his Gentile bride. Amen. In that same time, between Naomi being gathered back together in the homeland, and between Israel, Naomi receiving her redemption. And then we find out that Boaz and Ruth and Naomi, just like Joseph and his wife and his brothers, live in the very same land. Because Boaz redeemed Elimelech's inheritance. All speaking of Christ and his bride will be in the millennium. But the 144,000, all laying in type in the Bible. And then how we took Matthew 24. And we found it right in Matthew 24, lays those very same things again. How Jesus speaking those seven seals, and we found it in Matthew 24. And we took Matthew 24, we saw how the first four seals, both deception and bloodshed and famine and all these things and pestilence and death. In Matthew 24, verse 4 to 8, and then we find Matthew 24, verse 9 to 13 was the Jews being hated of all nations. The fifth seal, the amateur tribulations of Hitler and Eichmann. And then we find out
The 16th of Matthew 24, 29 to 31, when he will send his angels with the song of a great trumpet. Amen. And he will gather the elect from the four winds of the earth. And we took that day and we see that right between the 15th and the 16th, always in type in Joseph's life, in type in the book of Ruth, in word form in Matthew 24, over in the book of Revelation, always there was a profound silence. But a secret was taking place concerning Joseph and his Gentile bride, Boaz and Ruth. Always something with the Gentiles. A secret. While the Jews is gathered waiting for redemption. A secret with the Gentiles pertaining to she being dismissed into the palace. Pertaining to full redemption. She coming into oneness. Amen. And we see that being revealed. Showing exactly God's purposes in this hour. What he's working to achieve in our very own life. And we see these things and we see how always it comes back out so perfectly. And then we took Revelation chapters 8 to 11, where the seven trumpets really is written in chronological order. First trumpet, second trumpet, third trumpet. And we found out under the first four trumpets how the creation, Adam's inheritance, that we read here, where he had dominion, which was in innocence. The man and his wife was naked and didn't even know it. Right, right, right. Innocence. Not yet knowledge, innocence. Amen. A fake civilization. Amen. A type of the millennium. Adam and Eve in Eden was a type of Christ, his bride in the millennium. Amen. Where the lion and the lamb lay down together. And that was God's great secret in the back part of his mind. That threefold purpose. Amen. That great seventh seal. Yes, laying right there. And the entire Bible is the expression of one God and one purpose to bring back Adam, Eve, and Eden again. Amen. To bring back Christ and his bride in the restored Eden. Amen. And we find under the seventh trumpet how the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. How Christ and his bride will be back in the millennium again. Amen. Under the seventh trumpet. The same earth that has been destroyed under the first four trumpets. The trees and the earth and the grass and the sea and the creatures in the sea and the lakes and the rivers and the air was all being destroyed. But it finally was purified under the seventh trumpet and God destroying them that destroyed the earth. How the earth is filled with violence. Whoa, whoa. I was taking some of the statistics on Friday night. How 16 million was killed in World War I. 20 million wounded, 55 million killed in World War II, four times devastating. Just a few years after World War I had ceased. Now they're heading to World War III, the end of all flesh, when Armageddon will wipe off the earth to bring back the fake civilization. Amen. And we see those things in the book. And here the prophet wanted to bring that message in 64, and the Holy Spirit said, not time yet. You preach it supernaturally. He didn't preach the seven church ages supernaturally. He didn't preach the seven seals supernaturally. But he said, the seven trumpets, you preach it supernaturally. And we find out that silence, that great secret that was taking place on the earth, was a hidden secret. The end of time seal, when it begins, will be a total secret. Amen. The rapture will be a revelation only for the bride. Amen. The Holy Spirit will come down and hunt out them seed. The one will be taken and the other remain. Hunt them out! Amen. And we found it right in Matthew 24. When shall these things be? When shall be the sign of thy coming? When shall be the end of the world? And he was answering three major questions. Amen. And he shows between the 15th and the 16th, just like it was in type. In the book of Ruth, just like it was in type in the book of Genesis in the life of Joseph. Amen. Just like it's in type in the book of Revelation. Here we see in Matthew 24, in that time, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Yeah. Injected right between the 5th and 6th seal. And we found that Brother Abraham never explained on the 6th seal. He just jumped from the 5th seal to the 6th seal. But on the anointed ones in the end time, he picks up the very scripture. Amen. And shows the days cut short, the deception, everything being deceived. Everyone who name in the Lamb's book of life will be deceived. They will worship the beast. Amen. But the Holy Spirit is calling the names of the bride out of blasphemous names into the only provided place where he placed his name. Yeah, they will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Yeah, the true worshippers in the only provided place of worship have the oil and the wine. Amen. It's only they have a revelation of the Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Amen. The sevenfold plan of redemption be revealed unto them. And the single word is the Lamb who has redeemed us, and we shall reign as kings and priests on the earth, under expectation for the millennium. Amen. And right now, those seven seals being opened to gather the redeemed subjects together. Amen. While denominations is being pulled together and forming the image of the beast. To give the power to the beast. Amen. Taking the mark of the beast in the hand and the forehead. But the bride has his new name, the name of my God, the name of the sister of my God, and my new name written in her forehead. Amen. Hallelujah. They're worshiping the beast and you worshiping the Lamb. They blasphemous names and you in the place where he placed his name. Hallelujah. They're children of darkness, but you are children of light. In the great conjunction. Amen. Between mortal and immortality. When the presence comes, the great light comes. Children are like light and darkness at the same time. Amen. You who are born again, because in him is life, and the life is the light of men. Is his life in you, the token that you have on display in this hour, make you children of light. That eternal life in you being expressed, making real the word allotted for this hour. Prove it, amen, that eternal life is in you. Because you are the interpretation of the word written for this hour. The express attributes of God in a physical body on the earth. Amen. And that amnesia is moving back. Amen. And your heart being literally turned back to the faith of the Father as you feed upon the Word. Amen. And Matthew 24, we saw how it's about the eagles will be gathered together. Not lion, ox, man, and these things. The eagles, the eagle age. Hallelujah. The rapturing time. Prophetic time. When the coming of the Son of Man shall be. When they feed upon the carcass, the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So we find back and forth in the book of Ruth, Revelation chapter 6. Then we came to Revelation 7. And in Revelation 7, we found the four angels holding the four winds. Then blowing the earth, the tree, and the sea, and all these things, just like it was. Which was Adam's inheritance. Which was Elimelech's inheritance being torn up. But here, that Naomi would come back in the homeland. That they wouldn't tear up the earth. Because Naomi's coming back for redemption. That's her everlasting possession. Ruth, the Gentile, is going to come in and become arid boys. Amen. Joint heirs over all things. Amen. Revelation 7. Yes, sir. Amen. And we found out that in Revelation 7, all seven trumpets is happening at the same time. It's sung at once. It's not like only the earth being smitten here and then the air being smitten after. No. It's all happening because the four angels was there holding that the four winds wouldn't blow on from the four corners of the earth upon the tree and the sea and all these things. And we took Friday night, that's the ecological system. That's the environment that God put man in. And man cannot survive outside the environment. Amen. I don't want to spend time too much on those things because I want to move on. But I just want to recap a little bit and show how by the scriptures over the last few nights we have proven what those seven trumpets are. We have proven what is happening between the six and seven trumpets. We have proven what was behind the silence in heaven when that seven seal is taking place on the earth by the scriptures. We have proven that it's happening in this very last generation. And Brother Brown says, just along the time Christ comes for his bride, these things will be made plain. Amen. And I believe that it was laid in the message when we had a reason to see it. God will let us see it. Amen. And that becomes so simple and plain. We sit down here without any education almost. Amen. Simple, ordinary people like us. We can sit down here and see the reality of these things. Amen. Right in the Bible. Already revealed, learning the message by the messenger. Just to be made plain when we have reason to see it. Amen. And all speaks of redemption. It all comes back to God's one goal and God's one purpose. It cannot deviate from that. It must carry that word. Because any revelation that don't fit into this revelation and brings this revelation to life is the wrong revelation, he says. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be made plain. And as the book of Revelation says, open wide before our wondering eyes. We edified and purified by Spirit is made ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And it's all in redemption. Because the book is a book of redemption. And we see that the reason he caused those seven trumpets to be preached out of Revelation 7. In other words, he told his prophets, don't preach out of Revelation 8:11. You already preached out of Revelation 7. Leave it like that. And Balaam on page 36, three of the trumpets, he said right here, between the 6th and 7th seal, Revelation 7, is Revelation 10, Christ coming down. Hebrews 4, Hebrews 13:8, John 14:12, Luke 17:30, all these scriptures that's promised. This is to be between the 6th and 7th seal and the 6th and 7th trumpet. So when we read Revelation 7, we must see Revelation 10. We must see in Revelation 7. And we found out Revelation 7, verse 1 of 1918, when the war stopped mysteriously. 11th hour, 11th day, 11th month. Amen. Stopped mysteriously. And we found out verse 4 was the last half of the 70th week. And from 1918 to the last half of the 70th week, we are already 70 years. Here in 1988. Amen. Amen. See, here we said May 29th, 1988, this morning. And the 140,000 is not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. More than Elijah may yet come. And here we see that we are getting ready to be dismissed. Here we see that we have been feeding upon the Word. Amen. Christ, the corn of wheat, the sheaves thrown to us by the reapers. Amen. Making the loaf of bread. Amen. Which is the Son of Man himself, the living bread that comes from heaven. Feeding upon that Word and coming into oneness with Him at the end of the harvest time. In His very own image, in His very own likeness. Amen. We see it. It's happening. And in the midst of this great thing, oh my, we see the end of all flesh. Amen. I want to get to Genesis 6 this morning, but I want to first take here, we look at the scriptures. Genesis 2, 1 and 2 that we read, was the first civilization. Innocence. There was veil with a holy veil. Didn't even need a clothes. But Genesis 3, verse 7, they had fallen and they knew that they were naked. Something had happened between Genesis 2:25 and Genesis 3:7. Something had happened to remove the holy veil. Amen. Amen. Here was Adam and Eve. Amen. Like Christ and his bride, waiting for the oncoming promise of the spoken word. Amen. God had told them, multiply and replenish the earth. Amen. Adam was going to get inspiration. As the prophet says, is not I asked to speak the scriptures? Is not I asked to stop the storm? He told me to do it. Amen. He said, these things is by the sovereignty of God. Amen. And though God gave the promise, multiply and replenish, inspiration was going to come to Adam to speak the word. Amen. But he had to wait for that inspiration. God had a season and time to give it unto him. Amen. But in the testing time, in the waiting time was a testing time. Amen. And while I was waiting for the uncoming promise of the spoken word, like in Luke already Jesus, page 6 and 7, the prophet says, he says, I cannot go no further in my ministry. I must stop here now. Right. Yeah. Just a couple of weeks before, he had preached souls in prison and identified the first pull to healing, the second pull rebuking the organization, the spoken word, the opening of the word, and the last part was the preaching to the lost. Amen. And he says, look what we have. Could it be the time here? And 2 weeks after, he says, I cannot go no further into my ministry. Because when that last part takes place, the door is closed. Because after the door's been shut, then the third pole went to the lost who was impossible to be saved. Amen. But the third pole is three phases. The first part was the spoken word. All since 1959 that started. Then the second part was the opening of the word, the revealing of the mysteries, hidden truths in the word. Amen. Amen. And that was calling the names of the bride, putting them into the ark, putting every name in the book. And when the last one comes in the door, he swings shut. He will go to the lost afterwards. Amen. As a witness, as a testimony. And during that waiting time, Balaam saw that he said, I can't go no further. Because that part can only come when the door closed. He said, I must go back in evangelism. End time evangelism, looking for character, choosing a bride. Amen. He was sweating down like Eliezer. He said, we have to stay here until that catches up with this. Until the World Council of Churches is forming the world image. Amen. Into the image of the beast, rather. When the World Council of Churches is forming the image of the beast, and the bride is forming the image of the world. Then when the image of the beast comes against the image of the world, watch the Mount Zion showdown. Amen. It's going to be a great showdown. And the ecclesiastical spirits was loose among them to gather them together to form them in the image of the beast. But the Holy Spirit was loose among the bride, amen, by the evening message to form the bride in the image of the word. Hallelujah. Transforming power, changing her from glory into glory, forming her in the word image that she bypassed. Bringing her into speaking conditions. How could it speak except it's in the image? And how could the image speak except it's smitten? Amen. So here we see. He says, we have to wait here, friends. He said, but you know what the third pole is, and you know what it does. And this will be the thing to start the rapture in faith. He gives us a promise of the spoken word. He says, it will not be used until the council tightens up and bring the pressure down. But it identifies presence. It is our full inheritance. It's here. Amen. It's vindicated in this day. It's proven it is for this day. Amen. And here the prophet placed the bride in a waiting time, waiting for the oncoming promise of the spoken word. But he says, what's going to happen? After the seven seals are open, then false anointed ones going to come. Amen. After the seals are open. Amen. And what happened to Adam's bride in the waiting time? She was being tested. Amen. On her sacred virtues. She would hold that sacred womanhood, sacred motherhood, and keep the sacred bed and ground from being defiled.
Amen.
If she would not conduct herself around preachers. Amen. And here coming out hour, a devil incarnate. Is that correct? The serpent, a false anointed one, bringing a contrary revelation to the original word already given. He began to explain away the value of God's promised word for the age. That the bride was supposed to be under expectation for. Amen. She was to be in chains of that word. A prisoner of that word. But that devil incarnate come and say, yeah, God said, you shall not surely die. Amen. And punch a hole in her filter. And she crossed the line. Amen. Hallelujah. She crossed the line wandering after knowledge. Amen. She went beyond the boundaries of God's word. She was receiving the word from a channel that wasn't ordained to come true. Because God was going to give it to Adam. Whatever she wanted to know. Amen.
Amen.
Adam was going to receive the inspiration and speak the word.
Amen.
My. And what happened in that time? We find that hour when that message was preached. She was stripped of her holy veil. And she was naked. Amen. Revelation, Genesis 2:25. Then Eden with a holy veil. The fifth civilization. Dominion over everything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Adam had a title deed to the inheritance. He had that seven sealed book there with his sevenfold crown of redemption. Amen. He had it there back in the Garden of Eden. It represented Christ and his bride in the millennium. But in the waiting time, while there's waiting there in that eternal church age, because the timeline wasn't broken yet, the lifeline wasn't broken, the continuity wasn't broken, it was all peace forevermore. But Abraham says, it was like the Alpha bride and Jesus. There is perfect love. There was an entire atmosphere. No man dared join himself to the apostles.
Amen.
Amen. But as the serpent beguiling, so did these come afterwards, beguiling the church, corrupting her mind from the simplicity in the mind age.
Amen.
Satan transformed his angels, his ministers as angels of light. Evening light. Amen.
Amen.
Bringing a contrary revelation to the original word already given.
Amen.
And Eve didn't disbelieve. She was confused on a promise.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
She is what she was confused upon. On one promise. And she proved she wouldn't hold them virtue sacred.
Yeah.
Amen. That virtue sacred womanhood and sacred motherhood. And she defiled that sacred bed and ground.
Yeah.
Amen. And she received a seed in the air. And that seed, when she received that pervert, one word broken, brought the difference because Eve was to bring forth Christ.
Yeah.
She's going to, if you are wicked, Adam would receive inspiration, she would bring forth Christ.
Amen.
She would bring forth the very image of God, the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But what Eve failed to bring forth, Mary later brought it forth.
Yes.
But Eve doubted.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But what, receiving a perversion of the original message, what she brought forth? She brought forth worship, but it was the wrong kind of worship.
Amen.
She brought forth life, but the wrong kind of life. Amen. She brought forth reason instead of faith. And she said, I've gotten it from the Lord.
Amen.
She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord.
Right.
All was in the person of Cain.
Yes.
Because Cain had worship, but God rejected it.
Yes. Right.
Cain had reasoning. Cain had all these things. He had life, but perverted life.
Right.
And Cain came out of the womb of Eve.
Yes. Right.
Because that was the result of Eve receiving a perversion of the original truth.
Yes.
Later on, it went through the presence of God, was marked. Amen. Eternally separated.
Amen.
Amen. Now watch. So the preaching of that message stripped the bride of a holy veil and it turned from innocence to knowledge. Amen. She was now naked and she knew it. And here the prophet says, Revelation 3:15-17, says in the last days, the bride will be blind, the church will be blind, wretched, naked, miserable, and don't know it. They're naked and don't know it again.
Amen.
But this time it's a lost veil. Amen. They're going to an insane mind while the bride has been transformed to the mind of Christ. Why is she coming to the age of the mind? Have the mind for the age. Amen. Why is she? Yeah. Hallelujah. The great secret in the back part of God's mind is put into her heart. The world is going to an insane mind. While the light has come to her, they're going to darkness. Amen. In the outer darkness. Amen. So here, we see in the scripture all these things unfolding there so quickly. And then, Genesis 3, we see how God had to come and curse those things. And Genesis 4, here come Cain and Abel now, coming forth to worship God. Both of them, in Genesis 4, 1, showing that religion. Now what came out of it? Religion. But not the right religion.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And here in Genesis 4, Cain come forth, he's a tiller of the ground. Oh my, he tried to push by works. He wasn't an eagle. He couldn't stop you and catch that revelation. But Abel was a shepherd, and he had sheep.
Right,
and the mystery of redemption is revealing shepherd and sheep.
Amen.
There was something in him that caused him to see God in his own environment.
Amen.
Amen. He studied the life of the sheep. Amen. He happened to notice one day Adam and Eve was wearing sheepskin. And it was the same kind of covering his sheep had.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Then he began to watch at the eastern gate. There was four cherubim, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, guarding every way to the tree of life. He began to wonder, what is that them cherubim doing there?
Right.
Why are they standing with that flaming sword? Why no man can go to the tree of life? Why is daddy and mommy looking sad like that? Why is the sky so dark? Why are the thorns and thistles coming out of the ground?
Right.
Amen. Amen. He was watching the line of the word.
Amen.
He was following the line of the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He was watching Cain. He tried to have discussion with Cain. He said, Cain, what do you think? He says, I think it's a purpose why daddy and mommy wearing that lambskin. Amen.
Amen.
He said, because the only way they can get that, the alarm has to die. He said, that coming to me, I said, hold up strong. Cain said, that can't be it at all. Amen. Because Cain thought, if it was a revelation, he would have get it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But he failed to realize God in simplicity.
Amen.
Abel said, you know, Abel said, I have a testimony, Cain. I was watching my sheep the other day. You know, I was calling my name. I give each other my name. Amen. You know, and I noticed certain behavioral patterns in my sheep. And somebody struck me and told me, I am them sheep. Those sheep is like me.
Yeah.
That they will depend upon me. Like I in myself, if God don't lead me, like I get lost.
Amen.
It's a bear moving the camp today. And I was so scared of something in my heart. I'm going to live my life for that sheep. And that's if I am evil and will do that, how much more greater is God in me?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Something was striking him.
Yeah.
Why are there be shepherds? Amen. And Cain said, man, you can talk, but you sound like a sheep, and you're laughing like a sheep, and everything else. You even smell like a sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. But the mystery of God is going to be revealed in shepherd and sheep. In simplicity, in humble surroundings. Amen. And Cain, who is going to be a great builder in time to come, who's going to be a great architect in time to come. Amen. He was catching some revelation to build a little cathedral. Make it pretty and nice. Build a nice fine altar. Do a little different things. Amen. He was all there. But Abel, when one of my inspiration, he come with his lamb. Time to worship. And he's come with the lamb. And he's bringing the air bunged with some vines. Amen. And he's bringing it right up to the place where he's going to sacrifice it. And Cain brought all his first fruits and everything. Oh, what a time it was. So the atmosphere. Amen. Among Dan Shalom. Amen. But something, you know, came at Abel, and from the time he saw that lamb, in his mind he said, God could never accept that. Too cruel. He wasn't going to spiritual eyes. But Abel had a reaction. What was in the back part of God's mind?
Amen.
How the Lamb of God be slain before the foundation of the world.
Right.
He was in a vision of Calvary. Good. When he brought that lamb, and when he slew that lamb, and the blood was splattered on the rock, and the lamb was bleeding, dying. Here was Christ speaking in tongues, dying. Eli, Eli, Lama Sabbatini. Speaking in tongues, dying.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By revelation, Abel's reaction, the mystery of redemption of the lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Who's going to redeem everything back? A shepherd laying there, catching that mystery. He brought Christ smitten, Jehovah's masterpiece being smitten. Try to preach the Cain. That's the voice of the archangel. The masterpiece will be smitten. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And Cain couldn't accept that. It didn't sound too right to him. Amen. The theology had something different. Amen. And here it was. At that time, God came to Cain and said, look, do like your brother and I will accept it. In other words, he said, all right, she'll lie to the door. And God is saying, look, I'm not going to accept this thing. See, he said, you do like your brother. He was, God was bringing a truth here to remove his ignorance. To let him see the world the way you're supposed to see it.
Yes.
Amen. He's just sitting out of the door. In other words, next time you do it, you'll be doing it willfully.
Yes.
But I'm telling you now so you wouldn't find yourself sinning willfully.
Amen.
Amen. And what happened? Cain, but you know, he could not step it. And here he came, but the rejection of the word, Hebrews 6. Come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. But then Hebrews 10, the punishment that follows the rejection.
Amen.
Amen. And when Cain came and rejected the truth, the vindicated word, that vindicated shepherd message of the smitten masterpiece. Amen. Hallelujah. Cain could accept it. And then God separated him for rejecting the blood.
Amen.
Then you can't be covered by the blood no more. Then you reject. Amen. Rejection of the word makes all the devils become incarnate. See? And then it was eternal separation from the presence of God. And Cain went out from the presence of God now. Because 1 John 5, 16 and 17 says, the sin unto death. Eternal separation. See, if a man sinned, the sin unto death. First, he had come to the knowledge of the truth and rejected it. Then the punishment followed the rejection. He had sinned willfully. Then he made no more sacrifice. Then, if a man sinned, the sin unto death, don't pray for that man. Amen. And here he went out of the presence of God. So here it was. What are you looking at? Right in that time, in Genesis 4, here we see Cain going out the presence of God. We see how what was ruining, what had driven away the presence of God from the garden. When that false message was preached, when Adam's bride was confused, and she came under the influence of that message, death began to move in. Then, after that lie was preached there, she received that. Here she brings forth an intellectual conception and message. Cain, he couldn't catch the revelation.
Amen.
His sacrifice wasn't reflecting the redemption.
Amen.
Wasn't reflecting the Messiah.
Amen.
Wasn't showing what God had in the back part of his mind.
Amen.
His inspiration was in the wrong channel.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then it began to bring a confrontation, a clash. Amen. This is not only the spiritual. And then what happened? Eternal separation.
Amen.
Turn with me to Genesis 4. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And Brother Ramsey right here is where civilization now, a new civilization coming in. From a first civilization in Genesis 1 and 2, where Adam had dominion. From a civilization of innocence and perfection. When they walk in the sixth sense, now another civilization is coming in. A science civilization. Amen. See, it's changing. And Cain and his wife, and she conceived and bought Enoch, and he built a city. And called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And Enoch means dedicated. Now remember, as you read here, Genesis is seed form. So everything we're going to see, we see already worship in seed form. True worship and false worship. We see spiritual warfare in seed form. Amen. All of this. We see the false anointed ones coming after the truth, the original word have been given in seed form. In the waiting time, the testing time. And unto Enoch was born Irad. That Irad means city of witness. And Irad begot Mehujael. And Mehujael begot Methusael. And Methusael begot Lamech. Mehujael means destroyed by God. And Methusael means man of God. They was naming these cities. Was they experienced, no doubt? Maybe the one that named man of God, Methusael, might be a religious man. And he was going to maybe have a real... big worship or something. Maybe build some big Nordic cathedral in that city that maybe people could be able to worship. And they wanted to go maybe great distances because different cities were being built now. See, Irad was city of witness. And Lamech means powerful. And the scripture spent some time on Lamech. Had to be important if he was just giving the names of the others and he spent some time on Lamech. And Lamech took on him two wives.
Yeah.
Right away we see the social life, the home life, the morals begin to be broken down even more.
They
begin to go into polygamy, into adultery, being produced by city life. See? Look at it. And the name of one is Ada, which means ornament, and the name of the other is Zilla, which means shadow. And I believe his first wife's name must be Zilla, shadow. Because the next wife he got had to be ornament. You see, he wants to brighten up his life a little bit because of the loss that he's living there. The home life becomes gloomy and dull. Look at his wife, look at his shadow. See, nothing exciting. And he wants to kind of go out and paint the tongue red and have a good time. Now what? And Ada bore Jabal, means leading or flowing, like a wandering spirit. He was the father of such that dwell in tents and of such of cattle. Now, it didn't say that they were building a house in development. It didn't say they were building a home. It said they were building a city. Can build a city. Yeah. Now, Vancouver is a city.
Right.
In a city, that are the transport systems, communication systems, defense systems, sewer systems. They have to have roads. They have to have all kind of industries. They have to have so much power plants.
Yeah.
Maybe for lights and electricity and all these things in a city. Now watch. And Jabal was the father of cattle. He went into the pastoral life, the big farms. See, supply all the city with beef and cattle and all the prime cuts. And maybe had the you know, he had a monopoly over all the restaurants and all the fast food outlets. All the groceries, the hamburger patties and sausages and everything. He went into the cattle business, ranching. Yeah, because they had to eat. See, city life. And his brother's name was Jubal. And he was the father of such who handled the harp and the organ, the pipe. Here it was now beginning to invent music. See, today every city has music. Not that every city have music alone. They have all kinds of music. Have the little corner who under jazz. This over here under rock and roll. This over here under orchestra. The big orchestras and these things. Even the people who run in the street have a Walkman in their head. In the motor car, the tape deck right there. In a little tavern, they have the jukebox right there. In their homes, they have the big stereo set right there. Constantly, because why? They need the music.
Amen.
You see, back there in Eden, when the elephant come with his trumpet and begin to blow, and all the canaries and the different birds and the nightingale begin to sing,
yeah.
Adam had all the music he wanted. Amen.
Yeah.
Adam had a great symphony back in Eden, playing for him. Amen. When he got in the morning, and all the music starts, and you know, the canary can begin to sing, play a little solo, and then maybe a few parkies or something come, have a quartet. Then you hear the elephant, maybe way down in the back with a big trumpet, you know, blowing out. Oh, my. Everything to Adam was an inspiration around him.
Yeah.
It was himself, him. He was God over it.
Amen.
He had a kingdom on it like God had one in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. He was a God under God. He was God on the earth. God is God over everything else.
Yeah.
And here, and Zillah, she bought Tubal. And Tubal Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal came as Naamah. Now watch. It begins to go into inventions now. Because now they... Because for them to build cities to begin with. But it's now coming out now. Because it didn't say he discovered. It said he was the instructor of every craftsman. Great big scientist there. He began to discover the brass. He began to control the mines. The brass mines and the mineral mines. And all the politics of the city and the transport system bring it in. And they begin to explore and experiment and build bigger buildings and these things. And where does it get brass and iron from? It doesn't grow on trees. Mining started, all the mining operations.
Yes.
See? It's his form.
Right.
But that was Adam's inheritance.
Right.
That's what God gave Adam to have dominion over.
Right.
And from the time he fell, the title is not in the hands of God.
Right.
But look at these quarters. How does that move upon God's son inheritance?
Yeah.
They begin to plunder the earth to build their own cities. And look what it was producing.
Yeah.
And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Now remember, this man's name is powerful. You're a powerful character. Have a powerful voice too. You wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. Not God's voice. Hearken unto my speech. Then. For I have slain a man to my hurt, or who wounded me. And a young man to my hurt, who hurt me. a revengeful spirit.
Yeah.
A fighter.
Right.
See? Crime. Violence. Begin to come out of city life.
Yeah.
Do you know one city that don't have violence?
Right.
Don't have warfare on the earth here?
Right.
See? And if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold. Now this man was quoting Cain because he knew of what happened to Cain.
Yeah.
See? Because they had the history coming down. Because Cain was a big pioneer. When Cain went and built the first city, he was a pioneer in civilization.
Right.
They were being taught in the schools how the land of Nod came into existence. This great giant of a fellow Cain was such a brilliant man. How he was able to build the first city at the dawn of civilization.
Right.
And they were being taught in the schools. So Cain was a great celebrated figure.
Amen.
And here now, this man, he said, "No, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly the Lamb is tempted sevenfold." And Adam knew his wife again. Now look what the Bible is. It just shows and takes us into a walk as to the development of civilization. How the science civilization began to come in. And all the time there's a silence concerning Adam. See? The Son of God. There's a silence concerning. All of a sudden it comes back into view. And Adam knew his wife again. And she bore a son and called him Seth. For God said she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel who Cain slew. And to Seth to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Because every time they build a religion, whether they call it Baptist, because Cain went over with false religion. So when he had to build his cities, he had his place for his worship. But they're blasting his names out there. They had no revelation of the name. Because the name is in the Lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And rejected that message of redemption.
Amen.
That Abel had caught.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And bringing that message of the Lamb. And they went and they built all the great organizations.
Right.
And here come now. They've been a call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And verse chapter 5 deals with the sons of God. How they come right now for 2,000 years. And chapter 6 I want to go right into. That's where we're taking our subject from this morning. And closing out here. Chapter 6. Now watch. And it came to pass. Now this is 2,000 years after.
Right.
This is at the end of the time of civilization.
Right.
Destruction is going to come.
Amen.
God is going to send a prophet. There's a silence about all how it progressed and escalated. And how them cities now wasn't just one that they call Enoch. It has filled the earth now. Oh, man is glorying himself now. That is schools. Where it's being taught. That all the great civilization, science, and all these different things.
Right.
It was such an advanced civilization.
Right.
The prophet talked about how they built the pyramids and the sphinxes and all these things.
Right.
See, that they can't even build today.
Right.
Now watch.
Yeah.
This is where the cup of iniquity was full enough.
Yeah, right.
And God is going to send a prophet with a message of deliverance and judgment.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. The population explosion.
Right.
And daughters were born of them. Sons too. But they would emphasize daughters to show you more women was being born.
Mm-hmm.
More females was being born.
Right.
In the last days will be seven women to one man, the Bible says.
Right.
And the sons of God saw the daughters of men. The daughters of men was with the daughters of the sons of men or the daughters of men too. But the Bible emphasizes the sons of God to show how polluted even the sons of God begin to get in the midst of the whole thing too. At that stage, after 2,000 years. At first, they were separated. But yeah, 2,000 years, even sons of God in a fallen condition there. Mixed up in adultery, marriage and divorce, everything. Sons of God too. All inside of there had mixed up with it. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fear and they took them wives. I know the prophet bring it out and said, woman. In the emphatic dialogue, he said, means woman. Of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And from way back when Adam was living 930 years. See? When Methuselah lived 969 years. He was coming down. All the science and the civilization and the city life and the progress. They had so tear up the earth. Pull out all the... tear all the trees to build the cities. Pulled all the minerals out of the earth for war and industry.
Right.
Polluted all the waters with all the chemical waste for the space programs and all these things.
Yeah.
All the scientific living.
Right.
Now what are we coming to? I'm in those seven trumpets. We're in Genesis now, see? It's coming to 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they brought children to them, the same became mighty men who of old men of renown. They wasn't born that, they became that. How did they become that? Through the great educational programs. The emphasis on education. Get the masters, get the diploma, do it for the learning. And in that civilization, the emphasis on education. See, they became mighty men of old, men of great renown, as long as they were scientists. Those scientists. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The politics and the rotten politics. The religion and the false religion had so taken over that God's name wasn't even being considered no more. Deacons with 4 and 5 wives. Preachers doing what they want. Drinking, smoking. The turn back collar with the false religion that Cain had. All those things. The women was fear and they had them parading there on every billboard. Stripped to sell the little products. Vacuum cleaner, have a half naked woman. Sell a wristwatch, half naked woman. Continually. Because why? They were fear. And a woman was being glorified and was made into a sex symbol in that civilization. And it brought into such loose living from Lamech with one wife. With two wives, he started the polygamy at the beginning of the civilization. Here 2,000 years afterwards, even the sons of God were sticking to them wives just as they want. Because the moral fabric of the society was so eroded, was so destroyed, that there was no more natural affection. The mystery of Christ and the church, Adam and Eve, which was reflecting Christ and the church, was no more being reflected. Everything was immoral, pornographic, lustful. And God said the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination and the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented of the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now watch this right here. God was so grieved. Just 2,000 years. Just 2,000 after he said, it is good. Just 2 days with God after he said, it is good. Very good. After he gave Adam dominion. After the faith civilization, here the whole earth is so corrupted. I wonder if he's grieved at the cities today, at the religions today, at the politicians today. I wonder if he's grieved when you see all over the world, you know, calling peace, and all kind of false hope and false promises and all these things, and people in religion and the church calling politics and all these things. I wonder when he sees it, if he's pleased. He's grieved at his heart. So the man only thinks how they feel, and nobody thinks how God feels. But here he says, in that very hour, he was grieved. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. He's thinking back when he created man in Genesis 1, which we read. And God said, let us make man. Here 2,000 years afterwards, he's looking at the man to see what he becomes. Look what he becomes. Look when he's in my image and my likeness. And God's thoughts goes back to the faith civilization. Both man and the beast and the creeping things in the fall of the air. Animal life, botany life, plant life, bird life that he brooded upon when he's having his great evolution of creation. And repented me, I have made them. And from verse 1 to 7 paints the scene of the age. Science, politics, religion, education, the morals, verse 1 to 6. It don't mention nothing about Noah yet. It don't mention nothing about the sons of God. It just paint the picture, the moral decay, the condition I've come to. But verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's grieved when you look at this generation. But there's a little prophet up in the hills of Kentucky. Hallelujah! There's a prophet laying there to bring a message at the end of this science civilization. Before God destroy all flesh in the earth. And God eyes in the midst of it. That one insignificant man.
Amen.
Amen. He will leave his fishing rod.
Amen.
On Saturday, he wouldn't even go and see what he catch. Amen. He had principle. There was something about him. growing up the air. See, had such a respect for the things of God in the midst of all the pollutions and abominations. And right there, it injects Noah and his family. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah means rest and comfort. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. God just puts him into as part of the great social order. Unpolluted, uncorrupted, in a corrupted world. Watch how that's written there. The social order. Just as a normal man. Didn't say he was a prophet yet. Didn't just say a just man. Found grace in the eyes of God. But look how it comes here now. Verse 11. It goes right back to the creation. The earth also was corrupt before God. And conjunction. The earth was filled with violence. That earth, the environment, the trees, the lakes, the rivers, the fountains, all those things have become corrupt. The earth, the environment. That word corrupt means, in the Hebrew, I look it up, it means to decay, to ruin, or to destroy. With the advancement in civilization and science and education, they were destroying the earth. And the whole environment was destroyed. And conjunction, the earth was full of violence. That now deals with the inhabitants of the earth. We found two things under them seven trumpets. The first four deal with the environment. Then, whoa. To the inhabitants of the earth. The last three. Amen. The first two wars, 16 million was killed in one, 20 million wounded, then 55 million was killed in the other one. What was violence? Here today, murders, wars, hijackings in land and sea and air. Look at a little child, look at the television, part of the great invention of science. And maybe from about the age of 5, if he looked at television for 1 year, and Time Magazine was telling you, he see over 3,000 murders, over 5,000 rapes, over about maybe 10,000 robberies. He sees how he learns all the abominations, how to bribe a policeman, how to operate, you know, some illegal operation. Just in the form of entertainment. And what it takes to the eye gate fills up the subconscious mind. Where is he going to grow up to be? See, just looking at it right here. And Barham says, right in Tucson, Arizona, he says 86% was proven that by watching television, they have a mental deficiency. He said, God tell me to bring that evil thing in my house. You see what it was? We're polluting them. That the whole earth, all this Rambo and Star Wars and, you know, all this great kind of spankment and professional killers and first blood and all this kind of real, you know, what to bring us heroes. And was replacing the true heroes. Make them as a bunch of radicals. Second, and Enoch and all them. Just make Methuselah and all them. Just make them like just ordinary people. Like nothing, a bunch of idiots. Religious fanatics. And in their great civilization, they had who they wanted as heroes. In the school programs, no doubt, all the music schools, they might speak about Jubal, that great man who discovered the harp. That great man who invented the flute, and everybody want to be a young Jubal, and be all the instruments called Mark Jubal on it. You know, or something like that. And then they teach them all the great symphonies that he wrote, and the great things that they do for the music world, even for him. And then these were the heroes. And then Cain, the great founder of civilization in school. And then the great scientists, when they begin to break into God's laboratory. You see what's something? When the cup of iniquity begin to fall, God has to get rid of it now. So science begin to break into God's laboratory. Atomic power was discovered. Oh my, fill the world now. Now that atomic power is discovered, technology is going to advance with greater rapidity. We're going to improvise in the communication system. We're going to improvise in the transportation system. We're going to improvise in this new type of system over here. Our space programs, we're going to go far advanced now. Now the door is open to conquer new worlds. And in school, maybe it was an incentive. Everybody want to be a young scientist now. Everybody want to be some great thing now, you see? Sin was being glorified. Right. And here it was, when they begin to discover those things, here comes a man now with all this knowledge of atomic power. The architects begin to design sphinxes. They begin to build pyramids. Because now they can have something to lift the bowl out of high now. All them great mathematicians begin to come out there to even lay a stone without even mortar. That size. Man, all the modern waterworks that go and dig up in Mexico City back in the 60s year. That is so much more modern. Man begin to design all these different things. All these gardens, like we're up in the British ice fields, that's covered with ice.
Right.
Amen. Atlantis.
Right.
All these things. My, it's now the glory. You can see all the transportation systems plan a cruise to over there. And then you'll have special tourist programs over here. What's great thing going on?
Right.
And the back of it all, they come to a place, more building construction. More television stations now. No, you can tap in the satellite now and you can see some different programs in there. $2 channels, they have about 20 now.
Right.
See? Watch. I'm just trying to bring a picture about what's happening here in this age. The earth was being destroyed and the inhabitants of the earth was in violence, wars and these things. And before the end of all flesh, between the earth destroyed, under the first four trumpets, and the wars that fill the earth, woe, and the last woe, the inhabitants of the earth, God injects a prophet.
Hallelujah.
Amen! Hallelujah! A prophet with a message of redemption and judgment.
Amen.
Haven't we found that? Revelation 10, between the 6th and 7th trumpets, first 4 trumpets, the earth being destroyed, and the 5th and 6th trumpets, woe over and woe over to the earth full of violence, and then God injects a prophet who's going to call a people out at the end of this time civilization, who will come back in the faith civilization. And then that's all the prophet that comes. They have already discovered the atomic power. They're already building all the great, big achievements of science. And here the prophet comes with a very unscientific message.
Amen.
Because Jesus, you're going to get to just now. Just lay here a little bit. So here the educational system begins to get more demonic now. Because now the textbook in the school has to be rewritten. New discoveries of science. Higher learning now. Amen. The professors now begin to teach now about the great Big Bang. Now they was exalting their own knowledge above the Word of God.
Right.
Now they thought they discovered the power that created the universe now. Atomic power. See? Like Einstein, the prophet says, who split the atom? He studied the law of light and these things. But if he only had the spiritual application, he could say, let there be a squirrel. Little fishy Jesus Christ give you a life. Sprung back where you come from. Amen! But it's a spiritual Einstein who found that in the Word! And while science and the space program spent billions of dollars to go on the moon and bring back a little rock. This other scientist, great renowned man, maybe get the Nobel Peace Prize for discovering some bone. And he said, this bone is 120 million years old! Amen! Spent his lifetime! And they're teaching the children in school. Polluting their minds. Then they're going to take prayer out of the school because they don't believe in God no more. It's the Big Bang now. So what are you praying to God for? Take it out of the school.
Right.
And everything's on education and science. All the transport systems become more modern. Supersonic jets, no doubt. Maybe they have flying saucers. Like how they have drones on them pyramids there. Show the type of civilization that before. Even the fields of entertainment became more sophisticated with the new technology. Instruments wasn't the same old fashioned instruments no more, but they have all kinds of different songs in one little piece of equipment. You can get what you want this energy now. Everything moving at a higher level because they split the atom, they got a whole unlimited power there. See, and then when that began to happen, what was looking at progress and advancement? What's the social condition? Loose living, immorality, no family life. Drop out in school. Kids going there, you've got to be the parents separating. Broken homes.
Amen.
Every time you see, I'm looking at them men, wives, and this is broken homes. Producing juvenile delinquency.
Right.
And the earth begins to be filled with violence. It begins to spread like an epidemic. Amen. And the population explosion. Just want to give you something to go with in Mexico City recently, and I want to inject some of these things in here to bring it. In a greater reality, so you can see what's happening right now. And where these things are happening. Listen to this. This is dealing with the Time magazine had an article on the population curse. See the population curse here. And it was dealing with Mexico City. They said overcrowded, polluted, corrupted Mexico City offers the world a grim lesson. And here what it calls it. This is the city builder's dream turned nightmare. We took the first city builder and civilization came. Here they say, Mexico City is the city builder's dream turned nightmare. Hell on the earth! Nightmare! 50 men shall overflow here! We are in the same age. Atomic fodder! This is the city builder's dream turned nightmare. It is the super city, the megapolis, infected by a kind of social cancer that is metastasizing out of control. Its afflictions, a mixture of overcrowding, poverty, pollution, and corruption, are a warning to all other great cities. To New York and to Los Angeles as well. That what is happening in Mexico City threatens them too. The statistics of Mexico City continuing self-destruction are appalling. More than 2 million of the city people have no running water in their homes. More than 3 million residents have no sewage facilities. So tons of wells are left in gutters or vacant lots to become part of the city's water and part of its dust. If fecal matter were fluorescent, one Mexico newspaper said, the city would need no lights. Mexico City produces about 14,000 tons of garbage every day, but processes only 8. Of the rest, about half gets dumped in landfill and half is left to rot in the open. One result, legions of rats. 3 million cars and 7,000 diesel buses, many of them old and out of repair, spew contamination into the air. So do the approximately 130,000 nearby factories out of repair, spew contamination into the air. So do the approximately 130,000 nearby factories that represent more than 50% of the Mexican industry. We talk about Mexico City, not Mexico, you know, Mexico City. The daily total of chemicals, air pollution amongst the 11,000 tons just breathing is estimated to be equivalent to smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. The combination of chemical and biological poisons kill 30,000 children every year through respiratory and gastrointestinal diseases. Overall pollution may account for the deaths of nearly 100,000 people a year. You're not talking about what the cars killing? You're not talking about what dying in fights? You're not talking about breathing the air? 100,000. A year. These are figures that inspire prophecies of disaster, says one leading environmentalist. The question is whether we'll be able to live a pleasant life in a few years from now. The question is whether we'll be able to survive. 6 TV channels compete for the eye and the mind. Sprawling Mexico City is by no means the world's most densely populated place. Yet the demand for space inexorably devours the city's natural resources. In the past quarter century, Mexico has lost nearly 75% of all its woodland. That city was built on a mountain there next to a great big lake called Lake Texcoco Lake. And they had to drain the lake for the expansion of the city because of the population explosion. Now the water is coming from so far. Water usage, fresh water, lakes and rivers and these things. For a sewer that have to deal with 20 million people. Water to bathe, to wash, for industries to operate by, because you can't use salt water. It will kill all the plants. It will destroy all the industries. So it is fresh water. But look what it says here. The city now pumps 1 billion gallons per water from natural wells per day. The city now pumps 1 billion gallons per day from natural wells and loses 20% through leaking pipes. But that supply is so inadequate that an elaborate system of canals and pipelines has been built. This will theoretically bring in an extra 200 million gallons per day by the end of the century, when the need will have grown still greater to an extra 700 million gallons per day. Because of the population explosion, it can dry that town. The pumping of so much water out of the subsoil has caused part of the city to sink in some places as much as 30 feet. A process worse than periodic earthquakes. Now, I didn't give you the idea of a city. One city, because Cain built one city and today it's all over the earth. Every country almost. Cities all over. Start with one in Genesis 4. By the time they come under the seventh trumpet, they don't have none of them. They wipe off with atomic power. By the time Noah came back on the earth, had not one of them. See, now listen. The thin air. See, Mexico City has another natural peculiarity that makes it unable to support its millions. At 7,250 feet, it's one of the highest cities in the world. See, the thin air is not only contains 30% less oxygen than at sea level, but makes auto engines produce nearly twice as much carbon monoxide and hydrocarbon pollution. Then, when the city before air rises, the mountains trap it in the virtually permanent smog that now blocks the snowy crest from sight. Every once in a while, an enterprising reporter tests the air by putting a caged bird in the middle of Zocalo, that is the square downtown. The bird customarily collapses and dies within 2 hours. Listen. And it says, and if Mexico City seems bad, and they start the article, hell is a city much like London. They say, hell is a city much like London. I know London, they have the green here, blue here. Yeah, you see them in London? All the half head with here and half head with no here. That they call fashion. But under those trumpets, we found the bottomless pit was open inside of the earth. And them demons being loose. Not just they come upon the earth from the dictators, it went into the religious realm. And weak pulpits have all them back in the pit again. Exactly. Yet though London has swollen tenfold since, it has been overtaken by still faster growing hells. Not only Mexico City, but Cairo, Calcutta, Shanghai and others. And Cairo, they give a part of Cairo here. They say 1/3 of Cairo residents live in buildings that are not connected to any sewage system. 1/3. Man. And the system that exists was designed for only 2 million people when it overflowed into homes in old Cairo 2 years ago. Now Cairo is a city of 12 million people. 1/3 the homes are not connected to no sewer system. Civilization, science civilization. The prevailing winds in Cairo blow north or south. One bring toxic fumes from the lead and zinc smelters in Shubra, El Kaima, just north of the city. When the wind shifts, it brings poisons from the steel and cement factories in the south in Helwan. Today it is notable for its myriad of dead trees. The main cause of Cairo air pollution, though, is its traffic jams. No one reports that the inventions of peace kill more than the inventions of war. Carbon monoxide levels in some areas are 3 to 4 times what U.S. experts consider dangerous. Look at Calcutta now. Look at Calcutta. Today there is only one water faucet for each 25 slum dwellings. The last main sewer was built in 1896. About half of Calcutta houses have no indoor toilets. The city's only garbage incinerator has broken almost daily for 40 years and roughly 2,000 tons of garbage and trash litter the streets on any given day. About 70% of Calcutta inhabitants live in one-room houses. 600,000 of them have no real homes at all but live and die on the streets. A little insight as to what that life brings. Here, I just want to give you some of these statistics which have been present tense to show that under those seven trumpets, how the earth has been destroyed. But right there between the seven trumpets, redemption, that title deed comes back. Yeah, and under the seven trumpets, an announcement of the millennium, the Eden being ushered in. Amen. This world again falling apart, but the millennium is being ushered in. And God sent a prophet in the conjunction. Noah came at the end of the science civilization and begin to preach that the end of all flesh has come. Begin to preach of a new civilization that is coming. Begin to preach of a way of escape. Acid rain, the silent plague. I wanted to put some of these things here so you get a little picture.
The killer is called acid rain. They say in northeastern U.S. and Canada and northern Europe, acid rain is reducing lakes, rivers, and ponds to eerie crystalline, lifeless bodies of water, killing off everything from indigenous fish stocks to microscopic vegetation. In the process, acid rain is suspected of spiriting away mineral nutrients from the poor soil upon which forest thrive. Acid rain's corrosive assault on buildings and water systems costs untold millions of dollars annually. In addition, it is believed to possess a substantial threat to human health, mainly by contaminating public drinking water. The lakes, the rivers, the seas, what is in the environment? The earth was corrupted, was ruined, was destroyed. I just want to show what city life, science, civilization brings. Acid rain may cause leukemia, says Canadian Minister of Environment. Acid rain is one of the most devastating forms of pollution imaginable, an insidious malaria of the biosphere. And they have a picture here of one of them plants there, pouring out all its the toxic waste and the air. They say far away a woman here turned green off it. The increasingly bitter controversy over acid rain has already become a major issue in U.S. and Canada for the past year. See? The uncontrolled high sulfur emissions from power plants in the U.S. are largely responsible for the potential devastation of Canadian forests. All the trees. And I said this is an industry, you see? So when you're talking about trees, you don't want to tree in your backyard. All the great forests. 20 million is being cleared by the minute of the earth's forests because of overpopulation to turn forests into places to build homes. Tearing with all the inventions of technology, just tearing up the land for the population explosion. When the population explodes like that, then they try birth control, sterilization, family planning. And it bring in the clamp down on the population explosion. It only breed a dwarf of free love, immorality, and sex. Then when it begins to bring widespread famine because of the overpopulation, then they went to hybridization to speed up the process of nature, to grow the food faster, bring the chickens faster, bring everything at a faster rate. If it takes 6 months, they begin in 3 months. What takes 6 weeks, they begin in 3 weeks. And backfire and breed a weaker race of people. Breed perverts. Man get narrow in the shoulder and broad in the hips. All kind of perversions to bring back a Sodom and Gomorrah again. Exactly. Look. Canadian forests and waterways are acid rain. Canada is pressing for an immediate 50% cut in the level of high sulfur emissions in the U.S. by 1990. A measure that would cost U.S. utilities and consumers an estimated $2.5 billion to $4 billion a year if they have to cut that and change up the systems in some of these industries. Where are they going to get the money from? They already done sold the Roman Catholic Church already. Acid rain changes the pH level. I don't know what it means. The formula or pH scale is a scientific shorthand for measuring acidity or alkalinity. PH level of lakes and rivers, when it falls directly in them. One land, see what causes, when all these chemicals that they manufacture different products in the industries spew into the air, it needs a lot of gases up inside of the air, coming from other smelters, other industries. And the whole atmosphere, they call it so they are living like the end of a great global exhaust pipe. They turn the atmosphere into a garbage. A garbage, I've got everybody spewing the waste into it. But when God created that air, it was just so much that the animals could breathe it, man could breathe it. They said that formula began to change. What was going to happen? If it changed too much on one side, everything gets slow and drowsy and sick. If it changed too much on the next side, the whole earth could get paranoid and become a bunch of maniacs. You see it in every city all over. When God made the firmament, it was a man to breathe. He could breathe that air and live. Then look what's happened to it. The very same air they're breathing. Mexico City air alone is like 2 packs of cigarette a day. You couldn't smoke it. And then here, no one in the Bible said the heavens will be on fire. Because man, the laboratory, mixing different chemicals and build explosives and different things. And everybody's peed up there. And under the sunlight, other chemicals, meeting other chemicals and mixing, and they can't even monitor it. They can't even hold it no more. In the sea, they already lose all the toxic waste in these things. Kill out the marine life. But Ram says, all that fallout, they can't even trace it no more. One is going to burn up man, their flesh and all these things.
Amen.
Watch. Under the trumpet, we see these things coming out.
Right.
I want to read something for you in Canada, because you see, they have a lot of about from Canada here. They say, Canadian environmental officials project the loss of 48,000 lakes by the end of the century. If nothing is done to curb acid rain, already they estimate 2,000 to 4,000 lakes in Ontario have become so acidified that they can no longer support trout and bass fishes in the sea, marine life. And some 130 more in Quebec are in the process of being destroyed. In Nova Scotia, 9 rivers used as spawning grounds by Atlantic salmon no longer teem with fish during the spring. According to a recent Gallup poll, 77% of all Canadians believe that acid rain is the gravest environmental problem their country faces. Got thousands of miles away, the winds bring it, forming the clouds. Fall along there, acid rain. What stayed there and up in the mountains, after it be a talk, the ice in a talk, it run down into the rivers and the lakes. Get into the food chain. You see? In Norway, Toftdal River area, 175 to 66 lakes are severely acidified. The suspected cause of emissions from industrial centers in West Germany, Belgium, Netherlands. For its part, West Germany suffers an estimated 800 million in timber loss annually. Apparently because of acid rain, all the trees being destroyed. Science. The very environment when God made the trees. Look at this here. The heat is on. World climate is changing. Why is the ozone hole growing? I'm talking about all the ultraviolet rays coming through. Under that fourth vial, you see, God going to scorch. Man going to be scorched with the sun. The heat of the sun. Man going to have sores in the body for 5 months. In torment in these things. Tear up the whole world. Bringing destruction upon himself. God will destroy nothing from himself. Man always destroys himself. Exactly right. Man always destroys himself. Look at this. Toxic wind. Discover magazine. It says here, a witch's brew of exotic chemicals is wafting from factories and farms, tainting air and water and fish and fowl and you and me. All these things, the lakes, the rivers. And this is in peacetime.
Yes.
In the first one, the second one, what is in time of peace? What I can say, Norman, things going on right now. All right. National Geographic says, in 1980, the U.S. National Academy of Science estimated annual loss at 50 million acres. The World Wildlife Fund estimates 25 to 50 acres a minute of tropical rainforest trees being cleared. What for? Population explosion.
Right.
Science. Advancement. Civilization. All coming on. See, let us continue right here. Verse 11, Genesis 6. I'm closing up now. Let us bring it to a climax and close here. I think we see sufficiently to show how the earth was corrupt by the city life. I just take the modern city life and show the modern environment here. The environment in this modern time is being corrupted also. Verse 11. And the earth also was corrupt, the environment. Before God. And the earth was filled with violence. In that state, civilization had none. See? Whoa, whoa, to the inhabitants of the earth. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God only has one provided way for everything. But his way for everything has been corrupted. Hybridization, this over here, everything. The way God said to live with your wives, the way God said to live, raise the children, the way God said we should eat and what we should eat, the way we should worship. God's way, his way was corrupted up on the earth. And God turned to Noah. Now watch this. The prophet is and his ministry, his message, is receiving his message here. God, Revelation 10:1, said unto Noah, Revelation 10:7, that heavenly angel, coming to that earthly angel, God and his prophet right here, both of them, when coming between the earth being destroyed and the violence that filled the earth, before the end of all flesh,
The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God will destroy them who destroy the earth. On that seventh trumpet, when he's going to destroy all flesh, he'll destroy them who destroy the earth to bring back a new civilization. And then he told tell them how to make that ark go forward. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Get back into the seals again. Matthew 24, them seven seals. Jesus answering those questions. Look where Jesus refers to the days of Noah, showing when that is coming and is going to be. That ministry, that prophet. I want to make a very striking point here, and I trust that you're really captured by the grace of God. May God help us. Matthew 24, we're reading there how Matthew 24, Jesus was answering them three questions. What shall he say? What shall these be when the temple will be destroyed? What shall be the sign of thy coming? That's the seventh seal, the great secret while heaven was silenced. That seventh seal, I want to know when it's going to come. And the end of the world, how nature will go into frustrations and convulsions and all these things and be destroyed. And we found that how Jesus told all them, answering them questions. And Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5 was the first seal. Matthew 24, 6 was the second seal. It was Matthew 24, 7. Famines was the third seal. Matthew 24, 7 and 8 were the pestilence and the earthquakes and the beginning of sorrows. Pestilence and death was the fourth seal. Matthew 24, 9 to 13 was the fifth seal. Matthew 24, 29 to 31 was the sixth seal. And Matthew 24, 31 is the Feast of the Atonement, when he will send his angels with the sound of eight trumpets, Moses and Elijah, to gather the elect. And they're going to mourn for the one that they rejected. And then verse 32, we want to begin reading. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, also, when you shall see all these things, know that it's nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day, there's the seventh seal now, he's in the seventh seal. And all knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But, and he begins to speak in parables, as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That was the second question. When shall the sign of thy coming be? For as the days that were before the flood, that destruction, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And you not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But Abraham says here, he says now, in that, when Jesus was speaking, I showed the fullness of the Godhead bodily standing on the earth. And he had opened up them seals and he came to the seventh seal. Again, the hour of his coming. No man is going to know how he's going to come or when he's going to come. And he began to speak in parables. And he tells about the days of Noah. After he had finished that great sixth seal, about the sun, the moon, and the stars, going to fall from heaven, these things. And the Son of Man will come, and the 104,000 will be gathered together. And Moses and Elijah is going to come and gather them. And they will mourn for the one that they rejected. Verse 30 and verse 31. Then he began to speak in parables. Learn a parable of the fig tree. Now, Israel, who was gathered back in their homeland because of persecution under the fifth seal, when there was hatred of all nations for his name's sake, we found out on Thursday night how this parable is really supposed to be after the fifth seal and before the sixth seal, because Israel is in the homeland. They're waiting for Moses and Elijah to come. Amen. And Jesus saying, in that generation that sees all in the homeland, see the picture put in his body, the days will be like Noah. Is the days like Noah today? Yes. He says right in there, he goes to Genesis 6 and begins to speak about the days before the flood. Noah was a prophet and he had a ministry of three pulls. And the last pull was to the lost after the door was closed. Now watch how this comes out. Now Matthew 24 verse 9, that begins the fifth seal. 9 to 13 is the fifth seal. Matthew 24, 29 to 31 is the sixth seal. Matthew 24, 32, Israel in the homeland, the parable of the fig tree, and the days of Noah is right between the fifth and sixth seal. It is right because that happens before the sixth seal, before verse 29 and verse 30. Verse 32 to 39 is before verse 29 and verse 30, because verse 29 and verse 30 is when Moses and Elijah comes. But this time it's happening now. But the way Jesus spoke it, he speaks it after he finishes the sixth seal, he's dealing now with that seventh seal. But we find out in verse 21 to 28, which is injected here between the fifth and sixth seal, he was speaking about the days being cut short, about the elect going to be saved, and how the end of all flesh has come, except that the elect, for the elect's sake, he shortened it, alright, no flesh will be saved, and about all the false prophets and false Christ and these things, and the coming of the Son of Man. Because he comes back right here in verse 39 and speaks about the coming of the Son of Man again. So this is happening between the fifth and sixth seal. So Matthew 24 verse 9 to 31 is a parallel to Revelation 7 verse 1 to 4. Because Revelation 7 verse 1 to 4, the angels holding the winds and the earth and the sea and these things, is contained both the fifth seal and the sixth seal. Because, let's turn to Revelation 7 1. So, I quote the scripture, but some of you may try to figure out what is written in the scripture. So, you better look at it for yourself in the Bible. Because you're going to see why Jesus told that parable about that seventh seal, how it's going to be silenced, the day like Noah, how to enter into the ark, God will shut the door, the elect will be sealed in, and the rest will be sealed out. Let's take on verse 9, the fifth seal. Because verse 9 to 11, Revelation 6, verse 9 to 11, is parallel to Matthew 24, verse 9 to 13, which is the fifth seal. Here is the fifth seal in symbol form. Over there is the fifth seal in a written form, in a word form. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of the hell. And they cried the loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now these are the Jews who died under the tribulations of Hitler and Eichmann in the wars during the time of the Feast of the Trumpets. Whoa, whoa, when violence filled the earth.
Amen.
Amen. That's fifth and sixth trumpet. After the first four, the environment was being destroyed. Then verse 12 now, this is after the rapture now. One before the rapture. Verse 9 to 11, before the rapture has already taken place back there. Verse 12 is to happen. Just, this is parallel to Matthew 24, 29 to 31. Same thing. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun and the moon became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth, just like Matthew 24, 29. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when she shaketh a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island will move out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, men of great renown, like in Noah 6, Genesis 6, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountain and rock, "Fall us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Then, let's continue on, still speaking to the Jews. And after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that they should not blow on the earth, the sea, nor any tree. And conjunction, now this before the rapture, verse 1 before the rapture, verse 2 after the rapture. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He's coming to seal them up now. And he cried a loud voice to the four angels, so who does give to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the stones of our God in our foreheads." Here he's going to seal up 144,000. And I heard the number of them to seal, and there was still 144,000. So Revelation 7 verse 1 to 4 contains the fifth seal and the sixth seal. The fifth seal is the Feast of Trumpets. The sixth seal is the Feast of the Atonement. And the Feast of the Atonement is when they are going to recognize the Messiah, when Joseph's brothers will know him. Just like Naomi. Naomi's family was dead. Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion, them souls under the altar was dead. Naomi went back in the homeland, which is the fig tree. The 140,000 back there, Israel is a nation. And then they're waiting for redemption. So verse 1 to 4, Revelation chapter 7, is parallel to Matthew 24. Because Matthew 24 is speaking the same seals. Same thing. Persecution of the Jews and then Moses and Elijah coming to the 144,000. But between that time, what is happening? The coming of the Son of Man shall be. And to be like the days of Noah. While the picture provides blood. And that's happening right now. Amen. And Jesus said, Genesis 6 will be happening right there. In that very hour. And here we come to Genesis 6. And we see what? The earth destroyed. The violence filled the earth. And before the end of all flesh comes. And before the faith civilization comes back. With Noah and his family. Those that believe the prophet message. Listen to this. Future home, page 64. Brother Ramsey, I can only teach my types now. Notice Brother Lee, talking about Lee Vale there. Who come out of the new earth with Noah, the prophet? Those who went in with him in the ark. That's right. That's who walk out on it, see? Those who went in with Noah by his message was the one who walk out upon the new earth after its water baptism. The one who goes in with Jesus now. How do we get into him? By one spirit, and he's the word. You become part of him. What part of him are you? The word that's living at the hour, at this hour. Recognizing. You will walk out with him in the millennium. That's when you walk out. Notice, not a new generation. A transplanting. You say, oh, Brother Branham. Notice, if God could raise up Elijah and take him up 2,500 years ago to transplant him back in the earth again, to be a prophet for the Jews, how much more can he do the bride? After Noah came out of the ark. Notice what was said to Noah. After he came out of the flood, just like it was with Adam before. After he came upon the new earth, he said, multiply and replenish the earth. After the flood. Notice what be fruitful, replenish the earth as Adam at first. Notice, he said, now you can see exactly here. Now listen really close. Adam was to multiply and replenish the earth. Is that right? Noah was, after the world was destroyed, was to multiply and replenish the earth. So Noah and his family in the new earth was a type of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 1 and 2, Adam and Eve in the faith civilization. Genesis 4 and 6 is 2,000 years of science civilization. At the end of the science civilization, God sent a prophet. Before the faith civilization comes back. Before the new civilization. Before he brings them back on the earth like Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. And under the seventh trumpet, Adam and Eve comes back on the earth in another civilization. Just like it was in the beginning. Because that prophet Noah comes to pronounce judgment on the sand civilization. And pull a people out who will be transplanted back. He went up over the flood and came back in the sand civilization. Don't you know when you go up in the rapture, you're coming right back in the millennium on the same earth? But this civilization will not be here. And when Noah came, he said, behold, I send Noah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, lest I come and smite the earth with a flood. Amen. And Noah went forth preaching that it was the last generation. Noah went forth preaching that the end of all flesh has come. Judgment is going to strike the earth. Amen. And he was pulling out those who was going to come back and be heir of the earth. The meek who is going to come back in. With that prophet and inherit the earth. Amen. Amen. Come back into a new civilization. And between the sixth and seventh trumpets, here comes Revelation 10. God coming to his prophet, Revelation 10, 7. God came to Noah. And those seven seals open up, showing him what? The end of all flesh is come. Amen. Amen. To pull them out. Because under the seventh trumpet, the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. And Jesus puts his coming. How he's going to come? He's going to come between the second war and the third war. Between that violence that filled the earth. Between the sixth and seventh trumpet. He's going to come. And he's going to come in the ministry of a prophet. So shall it be when the Son of Man is being revealed. As it was in the days of Noah. Because that prophet come down right there at the end of that science civilization. It was a prophet being revealed with a message of redemption. He's going to take them back to a new civilization. Amen. With a mess of judgment upon that very world. And God cleansed the earth with his tribulations. Amen. God himself came back down to the third war. Because Armageddon is to wipe off the earth to marry civilization. And God cleansed off the earth. All the science under the
the fourth vision, under the fifth vision, the immorals, under the sixth vision, the false religion, the seventh vision was atomic power, cleansing of the earth.
Amen.
And here it was, and the prophet God showed it to him what was coming. And when he spoke those things here, that we see, he saw exactly where he was, because Jesus, given the parable of his coming like a thief in the night, that great secret. When Noah came, the world rejected that message. There's two courts of all the signs and these things. And Brother Abraham came and showed us, he said there's two Edens. There's two veils, the lost veil and the holy veil. See? And here we see in the scriptures, right in Genesis, those seven trumpets. How the earth was destroyed under the first four trumpets. How the spirit violence under the first and sixth trumpets. How all, the end of all flesh came before the new civilization come back under the seventh trumpet. To bring back a new beginning. And between that time, God sent a prophet that pulled out the elect who came back in the new civilization. So all those things we have taken from Genesis and the life of Joseph to Revelation chapters 8 to 11, to Revelation 7, to Matthew 24, to the book of Ruth, over here in the book of Genesis morning, to Leviticus 23. Proven by the scriptures what was in that seventh seal, what was behind the silence, when those things take place, why the trumpet was preached supernaturally, that it would not be given away. Yet God promised on the seventh seal that just before Jesus comes, the rest of it will be made known. I believe if these things have been so become so clear and so real to us by the scriptures there, that we can't deny it didn't plain in shadows and type in the scripture and prophecy, tying the whole Bible together, showing us those things.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is nearer than when we first believe.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
In Genesis 8 and 9, God told Noah, go out into the new earth now, Noah.
Yes.
And I'll put the dread and the fear of you upon every beast of the field.
Yes.
And God had told Noah what to take. Carry certain type of trees, botany life. Carry certain type of bird life. Carry certain type of animal life. All the life that God created in Genesis, he had Noah to choose it out. What is for food? What is for different things? Take it and preserve it and go and repopulate the earth. And here the prophet came back out to start over into a new civilization. And the sand civilization was destroyed, wiped off, clean off the face of the earth. What took 2,000 years from the first city Cain built until they were so far advanced in science and civilization, all these things, when that prophet came with that message. And here, as we look and we see these things breaking forth, and we see the millennium being ushered in so close.
Yeah.
We see just Naomi's turn is coming now. Joseph's brother's turn is coming now. And the church is being taken up.
Hallelujah.
And into a rapturing grace.
Yeah.
To be taken off the face of it. And we see that when Noah had moved into that, after the ark was finished built and the ark was the preaching of his message, he had to find all the materials and he had to construct it like how he saw it in the vision.
Yeah.
Every piece of material lay in the place. And build that ark, which is the preaching of the word. Noah being one of God of things that seen as yet, move it here and prepare the ark for the silver household. And the days while the long suffering of God waited, while the ark was preparing, while the song this message with works and faith. Faith and works. While the song this message, the disobedient was crossing the line of mercy. And then God moved Noah into the ark, and the Bible says, and the Lord shut him in. And 7 days, looked like nothing was happening. But the elect knew that God had come on the scene now. The message was going to be vindicated in such a way now. And the judgment was going to strike, it was going to go to the lost. But Noah was going to go over to come right back. And here, when these things unfold onto a place, we see how Jesus so perfectly place his coming, the Son of Man, between the earth being destroyed, between the wars, between the prophet coming, and the new civilization. Is that what the seven trumpets are? The earth being destroyed, the wars, the prophet coming, the new civilization?
Amen.
In the book of Genesis. Wars in Genesis is in Revelation. Exactly, precisely where it occurs in the book, that prophet comes right between the violence and the end of all flesh.
That's right.
After his message came the end of all flesh. I'll send Elijah before I come and burn the earth as an oven. The righteous will walk out on the ashes of the wicked. No, and they walk out that neutralization. Everything was destroyed. What a time it is. May if you, if there's one who is not a real believer here today, may your heart so burn as you see realization how the earth is being destroyed. Science destroying the earth exactly as it was in the days of Noah.
Amen.
God sent a prophet exactly as it was in the days of Noah.
Amen.
All these things. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Pull out the earth for one and just the earthquake comes, the whole thing falls because it's thin.
Yeah.
Nothing to hold it.
Right.
They're even destroying this earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the same way there's coming a new heaven and new earth here as we preached last Sunday,
Amen.
There's going to come.
Amen.
Look where we started last Sunday. And look where we end up this Sunday.
Yeah.
Notice. And during the week, where we have walked and show where those things have happened.
Amen.
And here we come facing the restored Eden again.
Amen.
Then we have to go back in by the grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
See where all these things have been happening and taking place on the face of the earth. And the grace of God have come to us to call us out. May it be true to everyone. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let our hearts be centered upon Him. Think of the great grace and mercy that has been given unto us to recognize Jesus and His program. These great hidden things that were sealed up in His Word, the light shining to place us positionally, show us. These great things happening, hidden in His Word. Why it had to be shepherds, He said. Oh, what a joy it must have been when they found the Messiah exactly where He was laying. Hidden in His Word from the wisest theologians, but being revealed unto babes such as we learn. We are finding Him laying in simplicity, hidden in humility, so real. And let us see it. He considered us in His great plan of redemption. Our gracious, loving Lord Jesus, as we stand looking into the pages of Your holy word, Lord, speaking of Your great plan, seeing, Lord, how You lay those things out in the beginning of the scripture, first a faith civilization, then the science civilization, then the senior prophet, and then You brought it back to a new civilization again. And so You have worked, Father. Here we stand facing that great Eden one more time. Hell is created on the earth. Look what all that civilization and city life have produced. You have already pronounced judgment upon it. I remember the words of the prophet. He says, you remember that rock that was thrown up in the air? Judgment started into the earth. He says, Lord, just keep the bride in step. Speaking to His ministers. You remember the vision of the preview of the bride. She was being taken out of the way. And Father realized, Lord, that this morning is so close. And bringing forth these things that the bride might just keep walking in step. Just keep going upward, Lord. I pray that the word have gone forth. Father, that is a profound effect upon every life. Would make so real. Would take the modern events and make it clear by the vindicated prophecy of Malachi 4. That as we look through the eyes of the prophetic scriptures, we can recognize, Lord, the things that is happening in our day. And our heart can be set upon Your promises, the things that ought to be. Oh God, we can move as spiritual astronauts into that atmosphere where these unfailing realities can become living, Lord, experiences in our lives. Father, may You grant it. I pray today that, Lord, You would just deal with us in such a way that, Lord, You would come back when the evening shadows fall. Lord, for the second part of this service, to close up this great spiritual feast that Your brothers are sitting around Your table over these days. And Lord, how You break the bread of life and You made Yourself known in the breaking of the bread. And we can just feast upon, Lord, this stored up food that You had a promise to store up, saying when the time of famine comes, we'll have something to eat. Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come again to the same things. Bring back things to our remembrance, show us things to come, teach us all things.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we thank You to see that the Spirit and the bride would say exactly what the prophet says. How His words now become alive and become so real. And all these things, Lord, that were so mysterious, become so simple. Father, may it bring such a faith in our hearts to live for Thee. And we made ready in this hour. We pray, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you.